Welcome. It's a Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday, broadcasting programs from holidays of radio's past. I'm your host, Mark LeVanier. Later on, a travelogue on the Cavalcade of America with a radio play called America for Christmas. But first, the last two episodes of The Cinnamon Bear, a 26-part series. Now episode 25 from December 23rd, 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
Exciting things are happening in the snow country, where Judy and Jimmy and their friends, the Cinnamon Bear and the Crazy Quilt Dragon, are visiting with Santa Claus. You'll remember that Santa ordered Captain Tin Top and a detachment of tin soldiers to the Icicle Forest to battle the bad dolls who stole the Silver Star. Reports came back from the front that the enemy was being led by a strange, unknown creature. A Mabygram from Queen Melissa flashed the news that the Wintergreen Witch had escaped from her prison in Mabyland. Confident that Wintergreen was leading the culprits, Santa rushed more men to the scene of battle. Then, just as we left them last time, Nicky Frutal bounded in to announce that the soldiers had returned victorious. And now we find Santa Claus leading his smiling visitors into his private office where Captain Tin Top, man of the hour, awaits them.
And Captain Tin Top's got the Silver Star? Oh, I'm so glad, Santa Claus.
You bet. Gee, we're awfully grateful.
Oh, sure. Save your thanks for Captain Tin Top. He's waiting for me in my office. Ah, congratulations, Captain.
We have met the enemy and they are out.
Well, that's fine. And the star?
It is here.
Oh, thank you, Captain.
This is Judy, Captain Tin Top.
Your servant, ma'am.
And this is Jimmy, Captain Tin Top.
How do you do, sir?
He's fine, and so am I, now that we have our lovely Silver Star back again.
You bet.
Pardon my intrusion into this joyful occasion, no less joyful to me, I might add. But might I inquire about that large wreath of evergreen which you are carrying in your other hand, Captain?
Oh, this is the Crazy Quilt Dragon, Captain Tin Top.
How do you do? This wreath to which you refer, sir, is all that remains, sir, of the enemy.
Indeed? How so, Captain?
You may recall, sirs and ma'am, that in the previous report, mention was made of unexpected assistance to the resistance of the bad doll.
Oh, yes, indeed. It was the Wintergreen Witch.
Ugh, it makes me shudder to think of her. What happened to her, Captain?
This, ma'am. This is what happened to her. This is the Wintergreen Witch, ma'am.
It's right.
Well, how did she get turned into a Christmas wreath, Captain Tin Top?
Allow me to come to that later, if I may, sir. Santa Claus, sir, following arrival of reinforcements and intelligences re the ally of the bad dolls, I gave command to surround them in the Icicle Forest. thickness of icicles prohibiting air attack made necessary concentration of infantry and artillery. May I make suggestions, sir, that artillery is far more effective? Need newer models?
Oh, come now, Captain, come. I'm afraid that will hardly be necessary.
Do not agree, sir, but just a suggestion, sir. Giving orders not to fire until they saw the whites of their eyes.
Jimmy, he sounds like a history book, doesn't he?
We awaited the onset of the foe. With the cunning they are noted for, the bad dolls made their attack quietly, so we were unprepared, to some extent, for their appearance. But quickly gave the command to fire the cannon snowballs, and our superior numbers told the tale. Proceeding according to your instructions, sir, ordered the planes aloft with the witch net.
Witch net? So that's how you got old Wintergreen.
Yes.
Oh, by the way, Captain, this is Paddy O'Cinnamon, the Cinnamon Bear.
How do you do?
Fine, my military friend, but go on with your story, please.
Proceeding in formation B-2, the squadron flew until they sighted the enemy ally, a green blotch on the white ground.
My, this is exciting.
Whereupon they dropped the witch net, secured the prisoner, and returned to headquarters. As chief in command, the prisoner was placed in my custody along with the defeated bad dolls. I may say, sir, as an officer and a gentleman, sir, I dislike very much the idea of placing a female under arrest, sir. But upon closer association with said female, sir, form different opinions, sir.
I don't blame you, Captain. That old witch was a terror, no mistake at all.
She was a bit of a caution, sir, indeed. Having turned the bad dolls over to the repair factory to be restuffed, inquired of your head foreman, Santa Claus, sir, as to what might be done with the prisoner. Prisoner not being citizen of Snowland and having no orders as to final disposition of same. Foreman opined that prisoner might be made into something useful, as suggested Christmas wreath. Evergreen for wintergreen, you know.
So that's how it happened.
Yes, sir. Any further orders, sir?
No, that will be all for the present, thank you, Captain. Except that we would be very happy to have you with us at the banquet.
Banquet? Bless my stuffing.
Oh, Captain Tintop, you don't know how good it makes us feel to know that mean old wintergreen witch can't do anything to us anymore.
And she certainly can't, Judy. I'll see to that personally. I'll hang the wreath right up here in my office, and Nicky and I can both keep an eye on it. And now, how do you all feel toward a little refreshment?
Gee, Santa Claus, I think we'd all like it pretty much.
Delighted. Well, when do we eat?
Patio Cinnamon, as one citizen of maybe land to another, I'm ashamed of you.
Oh, you are you? Well, you can save the shame for yourself. That's what you can do.
No. Stop that quarreling. Well, I take it that you're all in the mood, hmm? Very well. Follow me to the banquet hall.
Somebody pat me on the back. I'm so nice and full, my stuffing's all bunched to the back.
Like this? Oh,
well, a little on that order, Jimmy, but that's enough, thank you.
I stopped counting all the cinnamon buns you were eating after I saw you take the 25th patio cinnamon.
I don't suppose you counted all the lime lollipops you had. What a crazy quill cavern you turned out to be.
Jimmy, I think we'd better be getting home pretty soon, don't you?
Yes, I do. You know, I feel sort of, well...
Let down, Jimmy?
Yes, I guess that's it. Gee, we've done so many exciting things, and I guess maybe I'm sort of tired or something. Anyway, it's getting awful close to Christmas, and Judy and I have had a swell time with you, Santa Claus, and, well, we think we ought to go home.
As our adventures together draw to a close, as spokesman for our little party...
And just who appointed you as spokesman?
As spokesman for our little party, may I say a few words?
No.
Thank you. Tears come to my eyes when I contemplate parting from my dear, dear friends, the friends of adversity.
What's that?
I think he means you all went to school together.
But we didn't.
Shh.
But I realize that like all good things, even this, our quest for the Silver Star must come to an end. With laurels on our brow...
What's he talking about?
Just let him rave. Crazy always has to make a speech.
We spend these last few precious moments together. Oh, may I propose a toast?
Well, I think that would be all right, friend Crazy Quilt.
I propose a toast to those true friends, those stalwart friends. Ah, me, those friends so soon to depart. lift your glasses of milk, friends. I give you Judy and Jimmy.
Well put. Well put. Well, have you all had enough?
Oh, I stopped.
I don't wish to hurry you, but it's getting time to leave. I'm going to take Judy and Jimmy.
And me, Santa. Don't forget me.
Oh, no. I wouldn't forget you, Patio Cinnamon. I'm going to take you back with Judy and Jimmy to their attic.
Oh, boy, this is the biggest thrill yet.
You've been so awful kind, Santa. We don't know how to thank you.
Oh, sure. That's all right. That's what Santa Claus is for, to help children find happiness.
Well, what about Crazy Quilt? Is he going back with us, too?
Oh, no, thank you, Jimmy. I think not. In fact, I've been quite taken with the snow country. I'd like to stay on here for a bit.
Well, that's quite all right. Glad to have you. Oh, Nicky.
Yes, Santa Claus?
Is the sleigh ready?
Just about, Santa Claus.
They're filling the last trailer now.
Good. Have you checked everything with my list?
Yes, I did that personally.
Well, all right. And I guess we can start. Come, children. Shake a paw there, Cinnamon Bear. I'll help you up, Judy. There.
Thank you, Santa dear.
Now, how about you, Patty O'Cinnamon? You need any help?
Well, just a little boost, please, Santa Claus.
Will you allow me the pleasure, Patty O'Cinnamon?
I don't trust you at all, Crazy Quilt. But you can do it just this once.
Oh, such a way to regard the friend with whom you've gone through thick and thin.
How come this sudden burst of affection, Crazy Quilt? Are you feeling all right?
Oh, quite. Here, let me help you up.
Oh. There. Thank you, Crazy. You know, sometimes you're a good dragon. But only sometimes, mind you. Only sometimes.
Have you got the Silver Star all right, Jimmy?
You bet. Been hanging on to it ever since we got back.
All right, you get in next, Jimmy.
Okay, Santa. Oh, would you please hold the star for me a minute while I get in, Crazy Quilt?
Oh, with pleasure, Jimmy. Any little last-minute favor, you know.
Goodbye, dear Crazy Quilt. I hate to go away and leave you.
Goodbye, Judy girl. Parting is such sweet sorrow. Oh, dear. Oh, dear, I'm afraid I may have to weep a few Crazy Quilt tears.
Oh, please don't. We'll see you again sometime. Sure we will.
Goodbye, Nicky Froodle. If you ever come to the world with Santa Claus, drop in to see us. I'll show you my magic lantern set.
Maybe I will sometime, Jimmy. Thanks.
Just take a look around, Nicky, and see that all the trailers are fastened securely.
All right, Santa.
Okay, Crazy Quilt. You can give me the Silver Star now. Crazy Quilt?
Where is he?
Willikers. I don't know. What? He was here just a minute ago.
Well, he must have dropped back to help Nicky. Hi, Crazy Quilt.
He's not here, Santa.
Gee, where do you suppose he went?
Look, there he is.
Where, Patty?
Over there, running as fast as he can go.
Jiminy crickets, and he's got the Silver Star.
My, my. And I was just about to remark how beautifully everything was going. That Crazy Quilt Dragon is certainly an amazing fellow. After all the adventures he's been through with Judy, Jimmy, and the Cinnamon Bear, who ever would have thought he'd steal the Silver Star again? But he did, and I must say, things look mighty serious. Christmas is just around the corner, and so is Crazy Quilt. And if anything's going to happen, it's got to happen quick. Let's listen next time and see if it does.
The Cinnamon Bear on Tuned to Yesterday from December 23, 1937, a syndicated recording. The entire series meant to be heard from the day after Thanksgiving up until Christmas Eve, and so it is on Tuned to Yesterday right now with episode 26, the final of The Cinnamon Bear, first heard on Christmas Eve 1937.
And here's the Cinnamon Bear.
Christmas is practically here, and Judy and Jimmy are still without their precious Silver Star. And unless they get it back in time to put on the very tip-top of their tree, Christmas just won't be Christmas, that's all. You remember that after Captain Tin Top captured the star from the bad dolls, Santa Claus gave a grand banquet. The children were filled with excitement, and Patty O'Cinnamon was filled with cinnamon buns. Inasmuch as Santa was about to leave on his annual trip to the world, he offered to take the twins and Cinnamon Bear with him. And then the most terrible thing happened. Jimmy asked Crazy Quilt to hold the Silver Star while he climbed into the sleigh, and when he turned around, the dragon was gone. It's hard to believe that Jimmy's friend would do that, but such is the case. And right now, he's running as fast as his Crazy Quilt legs will carry him.
Look at him go. Lickety-split.
I knew that Crazy Quilt Dragon would show his true colors.
Oh, dear. It makes me want to cry.
Well, we'll have to hurry if we want to catch him. Oh, Nicky, you and Jimmy unhook the trailers from the sleigh. We can go faster without them.
All right, Santa.
Be with you in a jiffy, Nicky.
And I thought Crazy Quilt had reformed.
Huh. Once a villain, always a villain.
I don't understand why he'd do such a thing. How are you coming, boys?
This is the last. There. Come on, Nicky.
All right. Take my hand, Jimmy. Up you go. Are you in, Nicky?
All set.
Willikers, let's hurry.
Hi, Donner. Hi, Blitzen. Hi. Well, a little more speed there, boys. That's better.
Garrot, just wait till I get me paws on that double-crossing dragon.
I'm just awfully disappointed in Crazy Quill.
Me too.
Hey, tell me about this peculiar fellow. He seemed to be such a good friend of yours, and then to turn right around and make off with a silver star.
You see, Santa, he's the one who stole it in the first place, out of the big trunk in our attic.
Well, that explains it. But how did he happen to become such a great friend of yours?
Well, Cinnamon Bear helped us find him. And when he wouldn't give us the star, we yelled boo at him about 100 times. And then he jumped into the root beer ocean and lost it.
Oh, you should have seen him, Santa Claus. He came weeping through the breakers, vowing that he was a changed dragon, that he'd never do it again. Not much he wouldn't.
Oh, and you think he was just pretending to be your friend? Waiting for a good opportunity to steal the star again.
Hmm? I just don't know, Santa. He saved us from the Incaboos and stood by us through all our troubles. Mm-hmm. And there were just lots and lots of times when he could have gotten away with the star easy as anything.
I see. Well, it was probably just a case of too much temptation.
Look, Santa Claus, I think we're gaining on him.
We are at that, Jimmy. But, oh, my goodness.
What's the matter?
He's heading straight for the North Pole. Faster, Donner. Faster, Blitzen. Faster. Just as I thought. There he is, trying to climb up the North Pole. Come on, everybody. After him.
Come on, we'll have to catch him.
We'll have to catch him before he gets up the pole, or we'll never get him.
Why, Santa?
Why, the Misty Folk live up there. They'd take him right in with them, and we'd never see Crazy Quilt or the Silver Star again. Oh, there. Oh, Dunner. Oh, Blitzen. Oh.
Hey, what's the idea of stealing our star, Crazy Quilt?
Why, hello, Jimmy boy. Fancy meeting you here. What's all this yelling about the star?
You know what about the star. You've got it.
Oh, now, come. You must be mistaken, my little friend. Such a thing would never occur to me.
Why, Crazy Quilt, you big storyteller. If you didn't steal it, why did you run away like that?
Run away? But I didn't run away, Judy. Merely getting a bit of exercise. Trying out my new snowshoes. Oh, great sport.
And I suppose you use snowshoes to climb the North Pole? And if so, where are they?
Where are what?
The snowshoes, you villain, the snowshoes.
I just dropped them off to be half-soled.
Oh, don't pay any attention to them, children. He's got the star all right. I can see it. It's sticking out of his hip pocket.
I'm so ashamed of you, Crazy Quilt. After we trusted you and everything.
We won't ever believe in you again, ever.
Oh, my friends, my dear, dear companions. Don't talk like that. You'll make me feel... Oh,
look, he slipped a bit.
No, he's got hold again.
Oh, can't any of you climb after him? If he reaches the top, we're lost.
I know how to bring him down. Remember, Jimmy? We'll all yell boo at him.
Oh, no, not that.
Come on, everybody, now. 1, 2, 3.
Boo! 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 Boo!
He's down. Let's get him, Judy.
All right. After him, children. Get in there, Nicky.
Get in. All right, get him. Come on.
At last, I got you, Crazy Quilt. And I'm feeling extra specially ferocious. Garrot.
Tickle him, Jimmy. Tickle him.
Oh, my friends. To think our beautiful friendship should end like... Oh, no.
Oh, he's turning over. Grab the star, Jimmy.
I've got it, Fatty O'Cinnamon. I've got the silver star.
Oh, you Crazy Quilt dragon. Thought you'd get away with it, huh? I'll teach you to trifle with cinnamon. Bears. Shake him up, children. Shake him up. Shake him up. Shake him up.
Wake up. Wake up, children.
What's that?
Dick Tickle him, Jimmy. Tickle him good.
Oh, it's all right, Judy. I've got the Silver Star.
Children, what in the world are you doing? Get up off the floor. You're all tangled up in that old crazy quilt. Did you fall asleep? Oh, dear, I hope you didn't catch cold.
Cold? It isn't cold, Mother. Not like it is in the snow country.
Sure. It's a lot colder at the North Pole.
What? My darling, are you ill? Have you got a fever? Let Mother feel your hands. You're talking so strangely.
We're all right, Mother. We had a most elegant time.
We sure did. The Silver Star was gone because the crazy quill dragon stole it. But Santa Claus helped us catch him and get it back.
Hmm. You don't seem to have any fever. Now hurry up, both of you. Daddy's home.
Did he bring the Christmas tree?
Yes, dear. And he wants you to come down and help him decorate it. My goodness, I wouldn't have let you come up here in the attic if I thought you'd go to sleep.
But we didn't go to sleep, Mother. We went to Maybeland.
Oh, Jimmy, look at poor Patio Cinnamon on the floor. And he's only about 4 inches high anymore.
Can we take the Cinnamon Bear downstairs with us, Mother?
The what?
What? The Cinnamon Bear. You know, Patio Cinnamon. We found him in the trunk, and he's the one who took us through Maybeland. And we had lots and lots of swell adventures, too.
Oh, I see.
May we take him downstairs, Mother?
Of course you can. Now hurry. It's beginning to get dark.
Jimmy, the tree's all decorated. Isn't it simply beautiful?
Uh-huh. And there's our Silver Star, right on top where it belongs.
And Cinnamon Bear sitting on a branch right near it.
Remember the big Christmas tree that Santa Claus had in his palace?
Yes, and remember how we watched a wonderful, wonderful Christmas tree parade with all the toys and dolls?
You bet. And we rode on Santa Claus's miniature train, and I got to drive it and everything. You know what, Judy?
What?
I wonder if we really did fall asleep up in the attic like Mother said.
I don't know, Jimmy. It's all sort of mixed up like.
It sure is. But I just don't see how we could dream all of it.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, well, look at Patio Cinnamon. We didn't dream him.
Of course we didn't, dear little Cinnamon Bear. I bet he's about the best friend we've got.
And what about the crazy quilt dragon, Judy?
Well, don't forget that we found our Silver Star and the crazy quilt up in the attic.
Sure, but it was a dragon when we were up at the North Pole. You know, maybe it all got changed around like that because Mother came up to look for us.
Grown-up folks don't believe in magic very much, I guess.
No, they just say you're sick or you've been asleep or something.
I wonder if we stayed awake tonight, do you suppose we'd see Santa Claus? We could ask him about it and thank him for helping us catch Crazy Quill.
Oh, I don't think we'd better do that, Judy.
Why not, Jimmy? We've just got to find out, don't we?
Well, it would be nice, all right. But don't forget what Santa told us. Children can't see him if they stay awake.
That's right, he did.
Well, I guess we just better keep it a secret, Judy.
You mean about looking for the Silver Star?
Yes. Because nobody would believe us anyhow.
But we believe us, don't we, Jimmy?
I suppose so. Gee willikers, I wish Mother hadn't said that about us going to sleep. It makes me kind of wonder.
Well, anyway, we've got our Silver Star. And best of all, we've got Patio Cinnamon.
You know what, Judy? Let's put him up on the tree every Christmas.
Yes, I think we should. After all, that's where he belongs. Right near the Silver Star where he can guard it and see that nobody ever, ever steals it again. Jimmy, I thought I heard something.
Why, it sounds like Patio Cinnamon singing his very own song.
But Jimmy, he's only 4 inches high.
Listen, Judy.
Oh, Jimmy, it is the Cinnamon Bear. Maybe we weren't dreaming after all.
Now I'll growl.
Garrah.
And I'll growl.
Garoo.
And if you like to pray, I'm much obliged to you.
And so ends the story of the Cinnamon Bear. Whether Judy and Jimmy dreamed these adventures or whether they really happened doesn't matter. They were truly wonderful and certainly most magical. And now that the Silver Star is shining brightly on the very tip-top of Judy and Jimmy's tree, we can smile our biggest holiday smile and say a Merry Christmas to you all. We hope you'll always remember little Patio Cinnamon, the Cinnamon Bear. That's the one thing that will make him very happy. And I can tell you on his behalf, he'll be much obliged to you.
And so closes the Cinnamon Bear series on Tuned to Yesterday, episode 26 of a 26-part series, first broadcast in syndication on December 24th, 1937. This is an hour of Christmas shows on Tuned to Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Livonier. Next, not necessarily a traditional Christmas broadcast, but the Cavalcade of America brought forth a special program during Christmas of 1944 on the NBC Red Network, an interesting radio play called America for Christmas.
Presenting Walter Houston in America for Christmas on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry.
Good evening, this is Walter Houston. Tonight on a small island in the lonely distances of the Pacific, an island you never knew before existed and will find with difficulty on the map, a troop of soldiers, handful of Navy men, a few Marines, one or two flyers, and a medical staff are celebrating Christmas. I said celebrating, but perhaps there is a better word for it. Perhaps I should have said reminiscing about their former Christmas celebrations, which took place in the dim and distant past, in different settings and under different circumstances. It is with such servicemen and women as these in mind that tonight we bring you this special Christmas play. And so, with the best wishes of the season, the DuPont Company presents America for Christmas by Peter Lyon, in which I have the pleasure of appearing in the part of a master of ceremonies for an overseas USO camp show entertainment unit. And we're happy to have as our soloist and authority on American folk music, the composer of Ballad for Americans, Earl Robinson. We are now on our small island in the Pacific. Its name will remain undisclosed for reasons of military security. But you can be sure that every inch of its ground is by now familiar to every man stationed there. By now, they've eaten their Christmas dinner and opened their Christmas packages. But there's one remaining package addressed to all the men still to be opened. A package of good cheer and glad tidings to the men in their home away from home.
He who now will bless the poor shall yourselves find blessing.
The group has just finished a Christmas carol, and the MC, an old vaudeville trooper, steps forward to open the show.
Very good, very good. I'd like to sign you all up to join our troupe. Which one of you guys was singing tenor?
Me.
Well, we'll sign everybody but you. Well, what about it, fellas? Has it been a good Christmas?
Why, sure.
It's been okay.
You don't sound very sure.
Ah, who are you guys kidding? Not even yourselves. Two Christmases ago, I was in Oregon standing 2 feet deep in snow. Look at these palm trees. Is this Christmas?
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's what all of us in this troop figured. Me and Marilyn here and June and the quartet there and Sandy over there with the guitar. We had a dope dud, right? Right, Marilyn?
Right.
Right. Well, we thought everybody's been giving everybody else some Christmas presents, right?
Right.
All except we haven't given you any. No show tonight. That is, no regular show. And we've got a special one, right?
Right.
Right. We have caused to be constructed a show, something brand new, bright and different, songs and stories from our travels all over the country we love. And it's our present to you. It's the best we can do. It's all we can do. Okay?
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Places, everybody. The stage, that's over there. No curtain, but you can imagine it now rising. Orchestra finishing the overture, lights dimming. Here it is, America for Christmas.
Roll on, Columbia, roll on. Roll on, Columbia, roll on.
done, so roll on, Columbia, roll on.
Singing about?
They're singing about America, young lady, and Columbia is her symbol. She's a big country and a great country, a hot and cold country, an empty one and crowded. She's an all-over country, and whatever you want, you'll find her in America. That's why they're singing about her.
They? Who are they?
Why, they're the people, young lady, the people who live in America and sing songs about her and tell stories about her and lie about her and brag about her and love her. The farmers on her plains and the men who built her cities and made her strong. Roll on, Columbia.
Roll on, Columbia.
They're all over America right now, singing and talking and telling tall tales. If you want to meet them, you'll have to travel the whole country fast.
Let's go.
All right, and discover America all over again.
Where do we start?
Well, let's see. Might as well start where the pilgrim started, I guess. On the shores of New England.
Oh, Stormy was a fine old man. Gloomy way, oh, storm along. Oh, Stormy was a fine old man.
Way, hey, hey, Mr. Storm along.
I wish I was, oh, Stormy's son.
Gloomy way, oh, storm along.
I'd build me a ship of 1,000 ton.
Way, hey, hey, Mr. Storm along.
I'd fill her up with New England rum.
Fill me way, oh, storm along.
And all my shellbacks,
they would each have some. Way, hey, hey, Mr. Storm along.
Old Stormy's dead. And
that's New England. The song of the men who go down to the sea in ships. Down to the sea from craggy inlets and deep sea ports. There's rocks all over New England.
All over?
All over. Even the fields and meadows of the New England farms. Makes it tough to make a living. There was a farmer in New England who invited his minister to pay his farm a visit. The two of them, the farmer and the minister, walked over the stony fields. The minister saying,
"Why was it you wanted me to come out on your farm?"
"Reverend, I want you to pray to God with me that I'd get better crops."
"Hmm. What this land needs is not prayer, but fertilizer."
That's New England, a rocky country. Men get to be shrewd traders in that country. They have to.
What's a shrewd trader?
A shrewd trader is, well, do you want to watch a couple of shrewd traders in operation? A Yankee peddler with a wagon load of Yankee notions. Pulled up in front of a Yankee general store. The storekeeper going down into the road and asking,
"What's the price of your razor strops?"
"$1 each for these strops."
"$1 a piece? They'll be sold for half the month before the year's out."
"If one of these strops is sold for 50 cents within a year, I'll make you a present of one, mister."
"You will you?"
"Yeah."
"Ben, are you Ben?"
"Yep."
"You're the witness to the contract."
"Yeah, I'm the witness."
"All right, peddler. I'll purchase a strop on those conditions. Here's your dollar."
"Contract's a contract. I'll stick to it."
"Ben, I don't much like this drop now that I bought it. How much you give me for it?"
"Hey."
"Well, guess seeing it's you, I'll give you 50 cents for it."
"Hey, now, see here."
"Here you are, Ben. 50 cents, it's yours."
All right, you win. Here's your strop for free."
"Well, watch out for yourself when you're in Bethel, Mr. Peddler. Some pretty sharp fellows around here."
"Tolerable. Nothing to brag about. I made 75 cents on that deal."
"How's that?"
"I got $1 for 2 strops, which cost me only 12 and a half cents apiece." "I heard of the cute tricks of you Bethel fellas. I generally sell these strops for only 25 cents apiece. But, gentlemen, if you want any more at 50 cents apiece, I'll be happy to supply your whole village." "Yes, sir. Anything else you want to buy now?"
"Nope. Been shaved enough by you tin peddlers. Want no more of you."
"It's very hard to condemn a whole class because of one or two dishonest ones. Give me a fair trial. I'm traveling all through this countryside. I can get rid of your unsaleable goods."
"Nope."
"Here. Tell you what I'll do. I'll give you a fair chance. I'll sell you anything I have in my wagon at my lowest wholesale price, and we'll take in exchange anything you please to pay me from your store at the retail price."
"Mm-hmm."
"Fair, ain't it?"
"I'll look over your goods. Got a lot of whetstones there. Not how much?"
"Wholesale price of whetstones is $3 a dozen."
"I'll take 12 dozen of them."
"All right. That's $36 you owe me. for which I'm to take such goods as you please at retail price. Now, what are you going to pay me in?
In whetstones, retail price 50 cents. You get just 6 dozen.
There's a couple of shrewd traders.
Let's move on. Let's get away from the rocky country.
You think that's a bad country? Why, meet the fella from Maryland.
The dogs in Maryland are so poor that they have to lean against the fence to bark. It takes 3 or 4 pigs all at once to pull up a blade of grass. And if they want to cast a shadow, it takes 6 pigs to do that.
Should we go further west? If the country in the east is also bad...
West of that country, you run into West Virginia. Now, there's some country. Hill country. You want to hear a West Virginian on the subject?
All hills and valleys in West Virginia. Valleys real narrow. So narrow the dogs have to wag their tails up and down. Can't wag them back and forth. Why, there's one valley in West Virginia so narrow that the moonshine has to be wheeled out on a wheelbarrow every morning and the daylight wheeled in.
Well, come along, little girl. Got a lot of traveling to do.
I heard that railroad whistle blow, blow, blow. Yes, I thought I heard that railroad whistle blow. I thought
I heard that lonesome whistle blow, woo, woo, and
it blowed like it never blowed before. Taking this train,
jump on. Where's it go? West? West, and it goes right by Pittsburgh. Have to look fast if you want to see it.
Where is it? I want to see Pittsburgh.
There's a Pittsburgh fella.
I've been working that Pittsburgh steel, I thought you knowed. I've been dumping that red-hot slag way down the road. I've been a-blastin', I've been firing, I've been pouring that red-hot iron. I've been having some hard traveling, Lord.
Still going west, same road that Daniel Boone and David Crockett took. Only we can go a little faster. Riding on the Wabash Cannonball.
Oh, listen to the jingle, the rumble and the roar. As she glides along the woodland, the lakes and by the shore. Hear that mighty Russian engine. Hear that lonesome hobo's call.
Riding through the country on the Wabash Cannonball.
That's right. Just like our grandfathers did elbow room, that's what they wanted. They didn't want a neighbor any nearer than 10 miles. Besides, it's greener on the other side.
The other side of what?
The Mississippi River, the granddaddy of them all.
MISSISSIPPI.
That's right. Rivermen, the boatmen floating down on rafts, talking easy on the night air, talking big, talking quiet, making up stories just to hear the sound of their tongues wagging. Like these two men talking about their river, the big old Mississippi. Listen to them.
Yep, this nice old muddy Mississippi River water is wholesomer to drink than the clear water of the Ohio. Let a pint of this yaller Mississippi water settle, you'll have about a half to 3/4 of an inch of mud in the bottom. What you want to do is keep it stirred up.
Yep, that's right. Now, there's nutrition in this good old mud. Hey, you look at the graveyards. That tells the tale. Why, trees won't grow worse shucks in the Cincinnati graveyard. But now in the St. Louis graveyard, why, the trees grew up at 800 feet high. And it's all on account of the water the people drunk before they laid up. The Cincinnati corpse don't richen the soil any.
That wasn't all they talked about either. They talked about, mosquitoes, for instance. The mosquitoes in the Mississippi River Valley. I heard a man talking about those mosquitoes once.
Well, sir, I'll tell you. Now, the state of Arkansas has been injured and kept back by generations of exaggerations concerning the mosquitoes there. Why, sir, these mosquitoes have been persistently represented as being formidable and lawless. But the truth is, they are feeble, insignificant in size, diffident to a fault, sensitive. Now, if you really want to hear about some formidable mosquitoes, sir, why, then there are the Lake Providence colossi.
Lake Providence? There are large mosquitoes there?
2 of them can whip a dog. 4 of them can hold a man down.
I must say that that's...
Why, sir, this may strain your credulity, but I even seen those mosquitoes at Lake Providence trying to vote.
What?
Well, I have seen them canvassing around the pole.
Excuse me, gentlemen. I overheard what you were saying about mosquitoes, and I was about to add simply that the biggest mosquitoes I've ever seen was a little further to the west, in Oklahoma. Years ago, gentlemen, I saw four mosquitoes kill a buffalo. Kill a buffalo, yes, sir. And pick his bones clean and leave him to bleach in the sun. Good day, sir.
What do you know?
What's the matter? His story seem a little sizable?
I can't stand a liar, sir. I just can't stand a liar.
You're listening to America for Christmas, starring Walter Houston as the Master of Ceremonies in a traveling USO camp shows unit on the Cavalcade of America, sponsored by the DuPont Company, maker of better things for better living through chemistry. In our play tonight, Walter Houston portrays an old vaudevillian who is leading his USO troop through the Southwest Pacific. And on this Christmas night, they are entertaining a company of servicemen and women on a tiny Pacific island, entertaining them by giving them the best Christmas present they know, a memory of America as they remember her through our American folklore. They've covered the eastern half of the country in their special Christmas show. They're in the Valley of the Mississippi right now, and I think... Yes, they're in the station buying their tickets to the next stop.
That Rock Island Line is a mighty good road. Yes, that Rock Island Line is a road to ride. And if you want to ride, you gotta ride it like you find it. Get your ticket at the station on the Rock Island Line.
And so now we're across the Mississippi. This must be Arkansas.
Please, Maryland.
What's the matter?
The name of this state is not Arkansas, my poor benighted child.
It isn't? That's what it looks like when you see it. Arkansas.
No. Now, maybe you don't realize how strongly folks in this state feel on the subject. Years ago, there was a debate right in the state legislature when someone proposed that the state go on record to change its name from Arkansas to Arkansas. Another fella, well, he got up and made a big speech.
Mr. Speaker, you blue-bellied rascal. I have for the last 30 minutes been trying to get your attention. And each time I have caught your eye, you have wormed, twisted, and squirmed like a dog with a flea in his hide. Gentlemen, you may tear down the honored pictures from the hall to the United States Senate. Pull down the stars and stripes. Curse the goddess of liberty. But your crime would in no wise compare in enormity with what you propose to do when you would change the name of Arkansas. Compare the lily of the valley to the gorgeous sunrise, the discordant croak of the bullfrog to the melodious tunes of the nightingale, the bray of a Mexican mule to the classic strains of Mozart. But never change the name of Arkansas. No, 1,000 times no.
They didn't change the name of Arkansas, did they?
No, they left it alone.
And is Arkansas related to Kansas?
No relation at all, little girl, not even first cousins, for they miss touching each other at their border by 40 miles. In fact, down in Arkansas, people sing a song about the people up north in Kansas.
Oh, they charterbacker-thin in Kansas. Oh, they charterbacker-thin in Kansas. Oh, they charterbacker-thin, and it rolls right down their chin, and they lap it up again in Kansas. Oh, potatoes, they grow small in Kansas. Potatoes, they grow small in Kansas. Oh, potatoes, they grow small, and they dig them in the fall, and they eat them tops and all in Kansas. Come all who want to roam.
I don't think I want to stay in Kansas, if that's what it's like.
Well, it's not exactly like that, but the potatoes really aren't quite as big as they are in, say, Idaho.
They grow big potatoes in Idaho?
Big potatoes in Idaho? Well, I should think pretty sizable. A couple of years ago, when they built an army camp in Idaho, one of the mess sergeants went around to see about buying some potatoes. Spoke to one of the Idaho farmers who had a little farm.
Raise potatoes on your land?
Mm-hmm.
Will you sell me some? I need some for the army camp, other side of Lewiston.
Well, how much do you want?
Oh, 100 pounds.
Hmm.
Only 100 pounds? No, I wouldn't cut a spud in two for no one.
Still going west. Are we out of Arkansas yet?
Ah, yes. This is Texas. We'll be here quite a spile.
I should think so. It's so big.
And the people here, well, they think quite a bit about their climate here, too. Weather, you know, comes different pretty often.
Well, seeing there's so much of Texas, I should think the weather would be all different kinds.
Yes, but the point is, in Texas, the weather is all kinds all at the same time. As the fella says, nobody prophesies about Texas weather except newcomers and dumb fools. Came the time when a fresh young tenderfoot walked into a Texas saloon, walked up to the bar and ordered a drink. Men in the place, they said nothing, just watched him. You know, a young fella finished his drink, then he hauls off and says...
Well, I believe it's going to rain.
My friend, did you know that there were only two kinds of people who prophesy about Texas weather?
Two kinds of people who prophesy on Texas weather? Well, that's very queer. Who are they?
Newcomers and dumb fools.
You say there are only two kinds of people who prophesy about Texas weather. Newcomers and dumb fools. Well, you're absolutely right. For after all, those are the only two kinds of people there are in Texas.
Cow country through here, and to the north, and to the west. Further on west, you come to the desert, where it's dry. Yuma.
California. Are we going to California now?
Climate, that's all there is in California. The Californian says...
We got the healthiest. It's a healthy. When we started a graveyard, we had to shoot a man.
Hearing which, if you raise your eyebrows in polite disbelief, the Californian says further...
We don't have to prove it. We admit it.
Well, that's about it. Time to be getting back home now.
What? Oh, but we haven't seen nearly everything.
For every part of the country, a song or a story. Not time in half an hour to do them all justice. So, boys, I guess it's the end of the show.
It was enough, mister.
And if you're still wondering, I'll tell you, it's been an okay Christmas.
That's been the best Christmas I ever had. For the last 20 minutes, I've been standing in 2 feet of snow back in Oregon.
Okay, and we'll have one last song. Everybody sing. For every part of the country, a song or a story. But all the parts, all the states add up to one mighty whole. One America. Roll on, Columbia. Roll on.
Walter Houston and the members of tonight's Cavalcade cast, our thanks.
On this Christmas night, we are thinking the same thoughts you are of men far from home, in deep snow and in tropical heat, fighting the battle of freedom. What is in your hearts, our hearts, and their hearts has been said powerfully and beautifully by a soldier, a GI. Let me read it to you. At the moment, it is difficult to think of victory as meaning anything but an end of fear to loneliness and death, and a chance to go back to pick up the strands of interrupted life. Henceforth, each simple pleasure, each right we always took so lightly, will take on rich meaning. We know what it costs to keep them, and we know, too, that we have really earned a share in them. But victory means much more. With victory, we stand on the threshold of limitless inventions and comforts. We possess the resources to extend our horizons in every field of endeavor and every aspect of human relations. However, ancient and stubborn enemies are still to be conquered. Enemies which must be overcome, not by armies, but by minds and hearts and talents set wholly free. Such enemies are poverty, insecurity, prejudice, disunity. These too shall be conquered, for we have begun to think more deeply and more dynamically. And if we can sweep aside untold obstacles to to smash the most ruthlessly efficient machines of destruction ever devised, surely we possess the vision and practical genius to organize for peace, security, and a world designed for living. Till now, many have ruled because of accident of birth and power or wealth. But throughout the world, the unfit, the weaklings, and the traitors are falling by the wayside. New leaders are rising from the people, those who never sold their heritage of courage, faith, and simple human dignity. With victory, we shall have destroyed those who would have enslaved the world. Our sacrifices have been great, but we have won the opportunity to emerge from the animal kingdom and enter the kingdom of man. I look forward to living in such a world. I look forward to living in such a world. If a soldier risking his life at the front can say that, then certainly all of us can look forward. To all of you, the DuPont Company wishes a Merry Christmas. To the 34,000 DuPont men and women in the armed forces, we call Merry Christmas across the oceans. We send more than a greeting. We send our solemn pledge, we of DuPont, that we will not slow our efforts for 1 minute, that we will work and produce without let-up until the last gun is fired and the white flag over Berlin and Tokyo at last gives us a chance to rest and say, now it's really over. That is the pledge and promise of the men and women who work for DuPont. This is Walter Houston. Good night and God bless us all.
The Cavalcade of America on Tuned to Yesterday from December 25th, 1944 on the NBC Red Network. And that wraps up this Christmas edition of Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from the golden age of radio. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. Happy holidays.